To take your Bibles here this morning to Acts 4, Acts chapter number 4, the Acts of the Apostles. Of course, in chapter 1, Christ, he's been on earth 40 days, and he is ascended up, and they watched him. And now God has the Lord has trained them. And he has called them and trained them, and now they are to go about preaching the gospel. Of course, we know in chapter 1, we have the manifestation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have a different dispensation coming in the book of Acts, and that's the dispensation of God's grace. Of course, in Acts, you'll find through the early chapters, they're transitioning. From law to grace. This is new to these people. And many are hearing the gospel and turning from the law, turning from the old traditions, and turning to Christ. But there's some still kicking and screaming, saying he's not the one. And so we know the early church, even though the first century church, even though it growed quickly and mightily, and man, what a blessing, but they faced persecution very badly. And these apostles, all but John, was martyred. And John was, they tried to martyr John, but God said, I'm not done with him. So these men faced death. Matter of fact, the Lord told Peter in chapter 21 of the Gospel of John that he was going to be martyred. And said, that's coming for you. You remember he looked back at John and said, well, what about him? He said, you don't need to worry about him. Amen. I'm paraphrasing. He said, what I do with him is none of your business. And Peter was satisfied with that. We worry too much about what God's doing through other people. God wants to do something through you. Amen. In these last days. You don't have to just be a pew potato. Amen. You don't have to be a pew potato. God's got something for you. Amen. I'm glad we can be in the pews. That's where you ought to be. But yet God didn't just save us to set us in pews. Amen and amen. Well, in chapter 4, in other words, in chapter 3 and chapter 2, we find the manifesting and indwelling of the Spirit. In chapter 3, we have the empowering of the Spirit. What do you mean? Well, you remember Peter and John in chapter 3 went to the temple at the hour of prayer. There's a lame man. They set him there every day asking alms. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give by thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible said Peter gave him his hand and he leaped up. So now we're finding thousands getting saved. 3,000 at Peter's sermon at Pentecost. And 5,000 here in chapter 4. In chapter 4, in chapter 2, we have the manifesting and indwelling of the Spirit. Chapter 3, we have the empowering of the Spirit. But in chapter 4, we have the interfering of Satan. Now, you don't think he's going to lose. Right now, we know of 8,000. He lost 3,000 in one day. That's right. The same day Peter preached, 3,000 souls got right with God. And so now he is trying to stir up strife. He's trying to cause problems. Now look at the text. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Now get that. Notice the word. Not unto them, but upon them. They're just attacking, so to speak. They come up attacking. Now, these men are very gracious and anointed because I don't like nobody coming up upon me. You can come to me, but don't come up on me like you're going to whip me or something. You might have to prove that. And it wouldn't be hard to do. I'm crippled. But anyway, I'm still stubborn. Amen. Amen. I may not be able to whip you. I hired out. Amen. That's what I told my boys. I may not be able to whip y'all, but I can hire it out. Amen. As my daddy used to say, as long as they got a two before at Mascot Homes, I'm not very much worried about you. Boy, ain't it amazing how I get like, I guess go. No, we're talking about fighting. Lord, forgive me. We peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Lord, forgive this crowd for even laughing at it. Verse 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Again, if we're going to say when the Lord fed the multitude of 5,000, he just mentioned men, not including women and children, they may have been to say, it may have been 15,000 saved. Get a hold of that. It's 5,000 men saved. Folks, you remember when the Philippian jailer got saved later on? What happened? His whole family got saved. So these men got saved, and I guarantee you their whole family got saved. They followed the leader. Amen. Hey, daddies, where are you leading your family? And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done in the impotent man, by what means he is made whole? But be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. I am thankful for the boldness of the Apostle Peter. Now, I want to preach this morning just using this text and giving some illustration on the first persecution. Here we find the disciples going through what the Lord told them they'd go through in the Gospels. He told them they'd be despised because they are of Him. Folks, the world hates us because of who we're from and who we are and whose we are. And so I want to notice some things about this persecution. And I want to notice how they handled that and what God did for them. Because, folks, I'll be honest with you, folks were saved during their persecution. And because of their faithfulness not to quit when they went against the grain of society. Y'all hold that now. Folks, what we're doing here is going against the grain of society more and more, and we'll really see it in the days ahead. Now, I know I've been preaching this message for almost 28 years as far as that goes, but you got to be honest, we're seeing it getting worse and worse. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so we're seeing that, and the church is facing more persecution every day. Folks, I still believe in separation of church and state. The government has no business fooling around here. Amen. Amen. What we do here is none of their business. The offerings we take up in every other church, every other local church around the world, around America, it's none of their business. But I guarantee you, probably before I leave this world, we'll see it where they begin to put their hands on what's God's and not theirs. Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar and what is God, God's. There's a difference. There's a separation. Christ taught that. Christ taught separation from church and state. Yes, we pay our taxes, but yes, we give to God because the Lord said so, and the two never shall meet. Neither one of them shall ever come together. Hey, the church shouldn't have to pay tax. We're already paying them individually. And too much, might I add. Amen. So therefore, we believe, we're seeing that. And folks, if the church will remain faithful, and we remain just like these men, pictures of the early church beginning, they had to face persecution from without because that's the devil's nature. He's not going to say, Keep going, church. That's not why he's here. He's here to bring opposition. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're dealing with demonic influence all around us. And if there ever been a time the light of the gospel of the church should shine, it's the day we live in. It's right now. And we can still see souls saved, but we'll do it fighting the devil. Are you up for it? Have you settled in your heart? You say, I don't know if I'm up for it or not. I ain't seen what's going to happen. Well, neither did the Hebrew boys, but they already set their heart to it. They already set their heart and mind that they're going to go with God, not defile themselves. He's already going to do what God said, not defile himself. So I think it's time we go ahead and buckle up and make our mind up. Not through the energy of our flesh, God forbid, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. If we're wrestling against flesh and blood, we can figure out how to defeat it. The only way we can defeat this is remain faithful and let God fight through us. And quit being so timid about being hated. The Bible said, beware the man everybody speaks well of. But we live in a society, and I'm just preaching now. We live in a society where everybody wants to be liked by everybody, so you know what? We stand for nothing. And if you're going to stand for something, don't think there won't be opposition to what you're standing for. Don't cower down. Don't cower down. Hey, just be godly and march forward, and the persecution will come, but don't let that deter you from being faithful, being fervent, and being what you ought to be. We see in these apostles, these disciples, they are under religious oppression. In the first three verses, they are under religious oppression. Look at the first three verses. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved. Man, they was upset. They were grieved. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Do you see the oppression? Now, I want to notice some things here. They were outraged. Who's the oppressor? Well, the priest was. The priest was. Then he talked about the captain of the temple. These fellows were the enforcers. They were security. They were the gatekeepers. See, they came with security. Can I put it like this? They came with the police. Or if you want to pronounce it, police. Police sounds better to me. And the Sadducees came. This crowd didn't even believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. They didn't even believe in the resurrection. So immediately they're going to be against the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. They're going to be against it. And so here they are outraged. The oppressors are coming. Then we see the outcry. Look what the problem was, verse number 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. What do you mean? Hey, it wasn't their presence that bothered them. It wasn't their preaching in itself that bothered them. It was the person they were preaching about that bothered them. The context of the message, the theme of the message, the main character of the message, Jesus came and died and was buried and rose again the third day. You tell me why anybody would have a problem with that. The world does because the devil does. Amen. He don't want us to have a risen Savior. He wants us to worship dead gods made with man's hands that cannot help us. But the God of heaven, hey, came down in human form and he took upon our sin. And he took our sin to the cross and he died. He didn't go to sleep. He didn't go unconscious. He died. And he was buried and he rose again the third day. And they hate that message. You know why some churches ain't facing persecution? They ain't preaching the gospel. If they'd have come in preaching a prosperity gospel, they wouldn't have been come upon. If they'd been preaching name it and claim it. If they'd been doing all this other stuff, and I'm just going to leave it right here, you know, just jamming out, rocking it out, getting like the world. Hey, preacher, you're judging that. I don't like that. That's not judging. Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Why in the world I want to mimic what God told me to be apart, to be separated from? Why do I want to mimic that? Hey, you'll draw a crowd like that. Yeah, you'll draw a crowd. You'll have a bunch of goats in your church and no sheep. Yeah, glory. So we see they were outraged. We see the outcry. We see the outcome. Verse number 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold of the next day, for it was now eventide. Now, we're sitting here reading about preachers being put in jail for the gospel's sake. That's what we're reading. And we say, praise God, they were men of God. If that happened today, if me and Brother Jonathan, Brother Paul, and other preachers, if we was out in Landrum on the street preaching and they locked us up, some of you would say, they ought to know better to do that. I'm embarrassed that they are part of my church. Come on. Oh, Lord, I'm ashamed. They was out there preaching and had signs up, said something about Bible Baptist Church, and that's where I go. I'm going to change churches now. My preacher, and he's led the other preachers in to get locked up. What a shame that is. That's the mentality we'd have today. Come on. And what none of you bail us out. Amen, Brother Lamont. Praise the Lord. But that's the outcome of it always. We're gonna get you off this street. We're going to get you out of this town. We're going to lock you up. We're going to shut your mouth. And folks, that's where we are today. There'll come a day where we'll have to lock down every avenue of internet service. But folks, y'all can laugh at me if you want to. I got it honest, but my mind goes way over here when I think sometimes. But y'all tell me how. How? I Googled, just last week, Brother Jackie, I Googled fishing rods. Then I get on social media and one ad after another is fishing rods. I Googled dog food. If you don't think it, you don't think I'm telling it right, do it. Don't Google me, because every time you turn on social media, I'll be going, there's something to that, and you know they are. Right. Now, you can live in a shell and think, boy, our government loves us. No, they don't. They hate your guts. No. The news said, and you believe the news. I'm going to tell you something. Get out of the dirt. Amen. The world is not going God's way. And they hate that we are, and they're doing everything they can to stop it, just like in this day. There's no difference. The difference is we just go along with it. We'll just go along with it. I had it does Bluetooth, but it's still a vintage-looking radio in the car. That was 3 months ago. I'm driving yesterday and I look up and there's a little microphone stuck up. I'm going, what is that? And I hadn't figured it out yet. Anybody know? Is that the microphone when the Chevrolet tires up? You go, help! Somebody come get me. I don't know what, I don't know if they put it, I'm going to find out on what it is. I don't know if I can say, hey, how y'all? I saw it. I ain't seen it before. This little microphone coming out. That's for my phone? See there? See, I'm 54. I couldn't figure out what it was. I started jerking out of there. I said, somebody's listening. See if I'm playing that 80s music coming down the road in that Camaro. But we, this persecution, and I'm not going to get done, this persecution that they faced, a religious oppression. It was religion. See, it'd been different, you know, with the chief priests and all them, they're hanging out. But you'll notice, if religion goes against truth, then we can get that accomplished. That's how it's going to come. Because, folks, everybody's religious now. But not everybody's saved. The God that the world is lifting up is not the God of the Bible. The God that the world is talking about now is not the God of the Bible. The Jesus that the world lifts up now is not the Jesus of the Bible. You get a hold of that now. It's not the same one.
You're right.
They're making him soft, and they're making him, oh, he's just love. He is love, but he has righteousness, and holiness is his main attribute, and he deals with that.
Amen.
Do what you want to do and sing kumbaya, he'll forgive you. That's not the God of the Bible. Do as you please, and God will say, okay, that's all right. If you're saved, you'll find out. And if you think you're saved, or you're saying you're saved, and God's not dealing with your sin, you're not saved. Stop playing around. Amen. Stop playing around that like, oh, it's all right. No, it's not all right. You got to get saved to go to heaven. If you don't get biblically saved, you're going to hell. And folks, there's evidence of salvation, and one of them is chastisement. If you be without it. Amen. But any hoot. The religious condemnation. Let me give you one more. Verse 4, through all of that, we have real conversion. I like this. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Now, this is upsetting to this crowd. How we know it was real? Through the persecution came a harvest. I like that word, howbeit. They are being put in jail, but they couldn't stop the word. We're going to shut them up. Hey, they already spread so much seed of the Word of God, it didn't matter if you locked them up overnight. The Holy Ghost was taking that seed and getting in hearts with it.
Right.
Howbeit, in spite of anything that ever happened, God's still saving folks. Then we see he said they heard the word. It still works. The word of God still works. You know, I used to make a statement, well, if you get them in with pizza, you can get them out with a hot dog. Folks, if you get them in with a pizza and give them the gospel and the Spirit of God deals with their heart, they'll get saved. I mean, in essence, that's what we was offering last week. It's Vacation Bible School. We got food. We got fun. But the main thing was we had the Word. Amen. That's right. We have the Word. Dr. Jack Hiles, pastor, had the biggest Sunday school in America there at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, Independent Fundamentals Bible. I mean, he was running about 20,000 people. And he'd do some of the craziest things in the world. But it was hundreds getting saved.
Amen.
Because the gospel, it still works. The gospel still works. Amen. Folks, I wish you could have seen these boys and girls last week trying to win that little competition with the offering. The 9 and 12-year-old boy's about to get violent. But you know what? It ignited them to give. Amen? two little girls come up to me. Say, preacher, where are they at? One's right there. One's, are they both right there? Well, yeah, that's right. Preacher, you got the money? I said, no. They said, yeah, you do. I said, no, I don't. Hey, you don't argue with little girls. Yeah, you do. And I don't. Yeah, you do, preacher. We want some money. You got money. I said, oh, I got it put back from my grandbabies. And I got an eye roll and they walked off. Real, the Bible, you say, well, it's that number. And I understand that, it ain't about the number. But the Lord specifically let us know, regardless of the persecution, regardless of what the world does, let's keep throwing out the seed of the Word of God, and it'll work still, no matter what's going on around us. I don't know what's going to happen in Washington. I don't know what's going to happen in Landrum. But I know the gospel will still work through it all. Amen. Keep using it. Keep spreading it. Keep using it. Keep giving forth the gospel. Real conversion. Rage and criticism, verses 5 through 7. Notice how, and folks, think about this, and I'm trying to quit. They were insulting to the disciples. They tried intimidation. What did it say? Well, verse 7, set them in the midst, trying to intimidate them. We're going to make a spectacle out of you. Set them in the midst. That's in the Word of God for a purpose. They put them right in the middle of all that throng that was coming upon them. We'll scare them to death. Peter said, I don't think so. Folks, we've got to get that attitude. This world's not going to scare us away from giving the gospel. They're not going to scare us. Insulting, intimidating. Then the interrogation, verse 7, by what power or by whose name have you done this? Peter answered them too, buddy. Who do y'all think y'all are? We didn't give you authority to do that. No, we're not looking for yours. Let's roll off in Corpus Christi, Texas. Years ago, he had those homes, his children's homes, and I don't know how many times he was arrested. He went to court one day and a lawyer got in his face. He said, you are trying to brainwash them with that Bible. He said, guilty. Now, we don't call it brainwashing. We call it given truth. That Bible, if it's rightly divided, you ain't going to brainwash anybody with it. But that's how the world looks at it. You're trying to brainwash people. No, y'all trying to brainwash people. The truth sets you free. Don't blow your mind. It don't put your mind in some type of bondage. And I know the Word of God can be misrepresented by those that say they're preachers. And I understand that. And I know that, and that's a fact. But I'm talking about giving right. You don't get nobody in bondage. They're going to get set free. Church, I want to say something to you and those that may be here lost. I'm going to stop right there. We need to get a burden. We need to get a burden because Joe Biden, Donald Trump, they're not the hindrance of revival. I don't care what you say. They're not. The liberal media, ungodly movie stars and sports athletes, they're not the hindrance of revival. Stop blaming it on that. The church, we're the problem with revival. We can blame that crowd that I mentioned for things, but not that. If the church don't have the power of God, it's the church's fault. Plain and simple, it's the church's fault. And I'm afraid we spend more time worried about what they're not doing right, and we forget about what we're not doing right. See, these men, they wasn't done right, but they weren't worried about that. They was concerned about what they were doing was right, given the gospel. Now, if you're here today, you're not saved. You better get saved. You better hurry and get saved. I preached this all over the place. Miss Lisa, come on. I preached this everywhere and here. You know, I can remember as a child, and preachers would preach about the last days. They're coming, man. They're coming. Folks, they're here. And it's amazing. I can remember as a child, it took things a little longer to get worse. It already seemed like it to me. But now it's like, man, the next day, tomorrow. What in the world? You know what I'm saying? Where'd that come from? It's how fast last days come. And I guarantee you, tomorrow you get up, it'll be something else. Wow. So look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. But if you're not saved, you better get saved. You better hurry. Hey, quit playing around. Get serious. Let's all stand.